39 of Inside the Cage, and a special episode for you this week. We've decided that we'll do a UFC London preview with a couple of MMA podcasting legends, if you don't know them. It's just me on my own today, though. They'll know Mark, I'm afraid, but I've substituted Mark with more than adequate replacements. I have Lewis from Norton MMA and Matt from Mustard MMA. Welcome, guys. How are you both?
Yeah, good, man. Happy to talk more Londons, you know.
Nah, blinding, thank you. Thanks for having us, Scott.
No, of course, always, mate. Always a pleasure. Yeah, it's good, man. It's always good to kind of collab and get different opinions, especially listening to Mark every week, you know, so. right, so basically the format will just be what we would normally do on our show, guys. We will just follow through a look ahead at UFC London this weekend. And Lewis and Matt will basically give their opinions, and so will I, and we'll just have a blather and we'll just have a chat and see how we go. It won't be anything formal, just be a chit chat, and we'll go through. So obviously London been booked for a while now, from the O2 Arena, which has no roof. doesn't seem to be causing any problems. Yeah, headlined by, let's just get straight into it, Alexander Volkov versus Tom Aspinall. Crazy kind of main event, considering Tom's words for the last year. I'll take my time, I'll do it slow, I'll fight the fights, I'll, you know, take all the fights. And not that it's his fault, he's obviously been given the fight, and you're never, ever, ever going to turn that down. But it just seems to have went, he's just literally just skyrocketed all of a sudden, just like that, out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think it's to do with perhaps that they didn't really have anyone else to main event, I suppose. I think you sort of automatic thinking is, Darren Till will main event this. I'll be all right. I'm the middle of the card here fighting against the top eight, top nine opponent. But with obviously Till out, he's not going to make it in time. They needed someone to step up. And what better in a UK MMA event to sort of put their stamp on it, a return of the crowd back at the O2, a big heavyweight contest with like the future of the division, really, and the future of the sport in this country. So I think it's a fantastic fight. I think it's going to be very, very tricky for him. Though. I think people think he's going to walk through Volkov, but I just can't see it being that much of an easy task. Obviously, we'll get into our predictions in a little bit, but I think it's a cracking fight, and the odds suggest so as well. They're split down the middle.
Yeah.
And you got to think as well, he was meant to be middle of the card because his first fight was against Abdurakhimov, however you pronounce his name, who is fighting Pavlovich, who also was rumoured to fight Tom Aspinall. So, and they're just, you know, slanted nicely in the main card. It's a very good opportunity, isn't it? Because after this, it's the Curtis Blades, the Lewis's, the Derek Lewis, you got, or tied two of us, and now, you know, they're the names that Tom's going to be fighting. And after that, it's gold. So he's kind of, he's got to eat his own words now. I can't rush it because he's got no choice if he beats Volkov here.
It's funny, the names you mentioned, Lewis, right? I'm more scared about him fighting Volkov than I am about him fighting Blades or Tuivasa, honestly. I know that might seem a bit strange, but he can definitely hold his own grappling with Blades, no danger. And I think Tai Tuivasa is so one-dimensional, it's unreal. So, same with Lewis, he's very one-dimensional, but I think Volkov creates so many different problems. There is nobody like him. The only other person that I can ever remember being like him in my very limited years of MMA was Struve, and Struve was nowhere near the same level. So Volkov's a very difficult puzzle to solve. Totally agree with you, Matt. I was talking to Mark earlier on about it, and you know, he was very much Aspinall. And I went, do you know what? I'm not saying he's not going to get beat. I do think Aspinall will win, but I definitely think it's a particularly hard fight for his style. He's not the biggest heavyweight, so I don't know, we'll see. But I think the range is definitely going to be effective here. Will affect the fight here with Volkov, definitely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the Struve comparison, but he's like Struve, but just actually utilises his reach this time rather than sticks his head in first before his hands. I think another thing you've got to look at is how many times he's been around the block, Volkov. Like, I'm looking at his record. I knew he'd been around the block, but 34-9, God knows how many fights in the UFC, Bellator champion, wasn't he, as well?
Yep.
And Aspinall, 11-2 isn't an extensive record anyway, let alone the amount of seconds and minutes he's actually been in the cage as well. So I think that might come into it, particularly in third and fourth rounds. I think this is a big test. I think we're going to get a lot of questions answered about Aspinall in this one. If he comes through this one with flying colours, he's off to the races, isn't it? gold next, pretty much. But I don't know. I really don't know what I'm going to expect from him, because as you say, that he's got so many more tools than those he's fought already, hasn't he, Volkov? He's only lost to those who are just technically better than him. Gone. Blaze just completely out-grappled him, so maybe this is the way that Aspinall can get it done. He's great on the ground. That's his go-to. He's a grappler. So yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Lewis? It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. But I think the Gone comparison, I mentioned it again with Hardy, that's, to me, how you beat Volkov is movement. He's a plodder. He kind of just stagnates on the spot. He doesn't really use lateral movement. He uses the reach really well, but if you close the gap, he can't back off quick enough. So you always have a shot on him. Which is exactly how Cyril did it. He kind of pity-padded him karate style and then got out of range quick enough that there was no damage inflicted on himself. So I can't see Volkov stunning or hurting Tom with how Tom's going to be moving and the speed that he moves as well. And the opportunities he'll create from all of, you know, having a full mixed martial arts base. As you say, he's a grappler. His dad teaches the jiu-jitsu program at Team Cowbon, and he's been doing that. But he likes to trade at the moment. He likes to strike, which is a worry. But I think he's smart enough, if he knows he can't get close to him, like he did in Arlovsky. He knew he couldn't knock him out, so he decided, just going to run through him. I'm going to grab him and grab his neck. And he didn't even sink a hook in. He just grabbed his neck like a schoolyard bully and just choked him with one arm, essentially. And that's Arlovsky. He's got a thick neck, like a bison. So you got to think, if Volkov can't keep him at range, that's his whole game plan kind of gone out the window. But it is a worry because he's fought the who's who, and he's only lost to the best. He's only lost to people that have then gone on to fight for gold. He's the ultimate almost gatekeeper, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a word we love, and we love gatekeepers, and I would totally agree. He's almost like a gatekeeper for the top 5-6. Totally agree what you say about Aspinall's speed. That might be his best friend. I know the grappling might come in quite heavy if he can get him down. That's another thing with Volkov, although Blades took him down easily, he isn't easy to get down. The Blades got him down because Blades is like an insanely good wrestler, but because he's so big, it's hard to get that down on the ground. But I think Tom's speed, like you say, I think will be, you know, I think Volkov could struggle with it. It just depends, doesn't it? It depends who turns up, but which guy turns up. It's intriguing.
You have to think of the reception that Volkov's going to get in the UK as well. I think he's going to get booed the crap out. People ain't going to be too friendly to Volkov, and he always plays on someone as well. And Tom Aspinall's going to get the biggest reception of his life, but he's never fought in front of a crowd this size either. You know, since Cage Warriors, when he saw, you know, when he came back after the 3-year layoff and he fought Sofyan Bokchu and snapped his leg with a check kick, that was 400 people.
That's a great point. I mean, he's not fought in the UFC in front of a crowd, full stop, is he?
Nope.
You had that UFC fake Vegas London card in Vegas, didn't you, which had a handful of people, but you can't include that, surely. So he seems very, very level-headed and grounded. So. Yep. I'm not suggesting he won't rise to the occasion, but there is that question mark, right? Whereas, as we've said, Volkov's just steeped in experience. Because he's a Brit and it's the main event, and I think he is the future. I'm going to have to go with Aspinall. I do think he'll get it done, but I want to kind of see him have a little bit of adversity, which I think he will get, and see him come through that, change some things if it's not going well. And I like your point on the speed, Lewis. I think you're right. He's got it in abundance, hasn't he, for a heavyweight, a lad large, you know what I mean? A lump.
Yeah.
Moves around like a middleweight. So, yeah, I think it'll go into the fourth and fifth round. I think he might win a decision or sneak in a little late sub.
If he can go decision, that'd be brilliant, because he barely gets out the first round. That's the one thing I want to see. I think he will win. I think he's technically better than Volkov everywhere. I think he's the future, but I want to see him have a little more time in the octagon, because every time you put him against someone, it's like, okay, get someone else, because he gets him out of there within a minute or two. So, yeah, I think Aspinall is the man.
I think this will go longer than a couple of rounds. I would think. I think he might finish him, but I don't think it'll be a first. I'd be amazed. Put it this way, I would be amazed if it's a first round finish. I would be shocked. Quick night, but we're road early, not mean, but hey, we're fine. That was the only good thing about it, but yeah, no, I'd be shocked if it's the first round.
I think anyone's done that to him, has they? To Volkov in like 10 years?
I don't think so. How many times has Volkov actually been, you know, KO'd, finished?
Lewis is the only one I can think of. of late.
Well, in M1 and Bellator, he was knocked out as well in the first rounds. But yeah, of late.
He's only two losses by KO and two losses by submission in 9. So that just tells you straight away he's hard to put away. Obviously, Overeem, he'd be Overeem, didn't he? But yeah, I suppose early days, and I say Derek Lewis, as you say, Matt, you know, but yeah.
Now, are you going to be sober to see this fight, though, Scott?
Yes. I do not, mate, honestly.
14 fights deep. How many beers is that going to be?
It's one of my biggest bugbears, mate, right? I've done it a few times, so I'll give you a couple of examples. I don't know if you guys remember, right, but Scotland played Brazil in a football friendly at the Emirates, right, years ago. It was the most random thing ever. We arranged to play Brazil in a friendly. I don't know if you remember, somebody get accused of throwing bananas at Neymar and stuff like that in the crowd. It was all awful. But anyway, we made the trip down, bunch of the boys on a bus, tanning all the way down. And the three boys I was with were all sick, falling asleep at the game and don't remember the game at all. And I'm like, what's the point in making another trip and going to the game? Fair enough, if you make your trip and get pushed and you went to the pub to watch it, you don't remember it, that's fine. Same thing happened. We went to a music festival the whole weekend, right? I don't know if you guys like the Stone Roses, right? It's not my bag, right? It's not really my thing. But two of my best friends, they love it. It's their style. And they were like, can't wait for them. The bucket hats and the parkas, everything, they were dressed up. They were ready for it. I was like, do you know what? I don't want to be on my own at the week, you know, the main night of the festival. I'll just come with you guys. Fuck it. I'll get pushed and I'll enjoy it. They ended up pushed. Don't remember any of it. I carried the two of them home and I was sober the whole thing and remember it. Didn't enjoy it, man. It's brutal. So I'm not one for... I will certainly be a few beers deep, Matt, of course. But you're going, aren't you?
I'm going, but I'm going with a couple of people who are driving. So luckily, I've learned from similar situations as you. It just ruins the experience. You need the toilet. You don't want to miss another last-minute Paul Craig submission there. So by going into the toilet. So, yeah, no. I was just wondering if you were going to make a bit of a session there. But I think I've got my answer. Wait.
It'll be a session, but it'll be slow burn. I'll probably be drunk by then, but I won't be that drunk that I won't remember it. So, I've done a couple of events for UFC and been managed to stave off the absolute mess by the end of it. So that should be good.
The O2 prices will do that for you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, welcome to London.
Exactly. Welcome to London. Very good. Before we look at the next fight, right, you mentioned something, Lewis, about the reception that Volkov will get, right? So let's get a wee bit political for a couple of minutes, right? There's obviously Russian, there's a wee bit Russian heavy, this card, in terms of, there's Russian heavy. I think there's four fighters on it that are Russia-based. Obviously, with what's going on, it's terrible, and obviously there's a Ukrainian on the card as well, which makes things even more interesting. But do you think that the Russians will get a very hard time? Genuinely, do you think that people will just be that crass and just totally just doesn't matter, just boo them straight off the bat?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Because you got to think of the what's the number one sport in the world and what's England's favourite is football. And they are brutal. They brutalise you from the lower leagues to the to the Premier League. And I think this will be no different. And people will be drunk.
Yes. Well, that was the thing I was going to say. I think I'm down to the drink. I think it'll be
as long as they don't throw anything at them. I think they're fully aware they're going to get brutalised. Yeah. They wouldn't have taken these fights. These guys are big boys. They can handle themselves, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Three of them are heavyweights, do you know what I mean? So you're not going to be... You're going to boo them and shout at them, but if they turn around and look at you, you're going to go, sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I agree. I think the mood might be quite awkward, especially Abdurakhimov Pavlovich. I reckon that might be an awkward kind of mood in the arena and an awkward atmosphere during that, because I generally don't think people will be that bothered. And well, people wouldn't have been that bothered with that fight anyway, whether Russia had invaded Ukraine or not. But I think that would certainly... It's an interesting dynamic, to be honest. I hadn't really thought about it until you mentioned it, and then I was like, well, that is quite...
There'll be a small portion, I think, that will maybe kick it off, because if the majority of fans are like us, aren't they? They're going there to watch mixed martial arts, not to boo someone on their nationality. Yeah. But I think there's a few people that get into these events that will cause a problem, and they always get escorted out anyway. You might see some fights in the crowd from it.
It's the same guys who do the Ric Flair chat.
Don't get me started.
If I hear that coming, I know you started it, Matt.
I hate it. It's unbelievable. It's so disrespectful to the fighters as well, because everyone's wooing as soon as they start fighting. So
I hate it, mate. And it's always notoriously bad in the UK. I remember we went to London last time. It was horrific, like absolutely horrific. It was embarrassing. You just want people to shut up. But hey, listen, it is what it is.
Everywhere's just mugs, isn't it? Let's be honest. And a UFC event's going to be, there's going to be plenty of them. But I think on the Russian point, the Aspinall fight, you would get that anyway because it's against the hometown thing. The Russian on Russian one might be a little bit more hairy. And I think it won't help that it's probably going to be a pretty boring fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's only on there to serve as a backup for the main event, isn't it? Obviously, this was made before what's happened in Russia and Ukraine, isn't it? So it wouldn't have been the best choice, but that's the only reason this is on the main card, just to serve as if someone has to drop out. But I've got zero interest in this fight really anyway. I mean,
is it your go for the break fight?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to either of them. They're both ranked, aren't they? But
yeah.
I think Pavlovich hasn't fought in 2-3 years. Abdurakhimov coming off a couple of losses. It's not the greatest fight to have in your main card, particularly at the expense of some of the UK talent we've got that are on the prelims. Some will get into a bit later as sort of special mentions. But yeah, not overly keen on it, but a good point really on the Russian front. It's a bit, could get a bit hairy.
I agree. I actually don't mind Pavlovich. I'd like to see Pavlovich for myself and see, because he's supposed to be quite good. And obviously, he's only had that one loss. I think, was it Overeem that beat him? Was it Overeem that he knocked ground and pound him? Aye, it was. So, like, see him. But as I say, same as you, Matt, if it's an opportunity to go and get a beer, then that's, or toilet, then that is the opportunity to do it. So, yeah. I was going to move on to the co-main, but depending where you look, it's different everywhere. So, obviously, you... If you were listing these fights for me, right, the co-main for me would be Arnold Allen.
It is.
But on the UFC website, it isn't.
It is Arnold Allen, though. Yeah.
It's on the poster, isn't it? So you would have thought that is just the co-main. What's on the website, then?
On the UFC website, it's got Paddy.
Yeah, ain't Paddy.
Yeah. I didn't think so either, Lewis, to be honest. But when you look at a couple of different
He's
places,
co-main, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this just doesn't make sense. But, I mean, listen, it doesn't really matter which way we talk about it. I would prefer to talk about Arnold Allen first. I'm not a massive Paddy fan. You guys know, probably. But, we can talk about Arnold Allen. I'm actually really excited to see Arnold Allen fight in the flesh. I think that's the most thing. Like, even take off the, you know, try to do the technical or whatever, you know, an opinion. Just as me, as a fan, I'm really looking forward to seeing him fight in person. If it didn't matter who he was fighting on this card, to be honest, he could have been fighting anybody. It wouldn't matter to me because... I want to see if the hype is real with Arnold Allen, because it seems to be. He seems to be legit. But to see it for yourself and your own eyes makes it so different, I think.
It's just a shame that he's fighting Dan Hooker, really. That's the biggie, isn't it? And I think it's also secondary shame today is that it's not a main event, or at least a five rounder, because I think that would have been... I think this needs five rounds. I think this is the most interesting fight on the card by a mile. Probably the two highest caliber as well, in terms of rankings and their CV.
That begs the question, why isn't it the main event then?
Little guys,
because of heavyweight.
Yeah.
It seems to me that Arnold Allen, Dan Hooker is much more enticing fight to headline this card. No disrespect to Volkov or Aspinall. Love Tom. He is the new breed, as we've said. He's the future of that division. Same with guys like Gan. Volkov's a legend. But for some reason, I just think if you look at that card, you go, why is Arnold Allen not headlining this card? It's bizarre.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, but I do see the side of it's heavyweight, man. Brits love heavyweights, and it probably sells to the more casual fans over here who just want to see a knockout. But yeah, and they could probably tie into the, oh, it's Darren Till's training partner and stuff like that. And everyone knows who Darren Till is. I think if you ask every man on the street who Arnold Allen is, they probably wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And that's the only probably thing I can think of. But the fight itself is fantastic. I don't know which way to call it, you know, because it all depends on which way Dan Hooker's going to look after an extra 10 pounds to lose off that already lean body of his. A couple of days trek over from New Zealand as well probably won't help. Style-wise, I think it obviously probably suits Dan Hooker. Obviously, he's got the reach on him. But the physicality of Arnold Allen after another brutal weight cut and travelling like that, it just seems like he's going to fade. I don't know about you boys, but... It just seems like it might start sourly for Allen, but you can just turn it around and just put a beating on him.
It almost feels, right, a wee bit. Like, I love Dan Hooker. Every fight, I mean, Dan Hooker, Paul Felder will go with me to the grave because that was immense. But that fight does not get anywhere near enough you know, talk and praise. But I kind of feel like Dan Hooker's been fed to the wolves here. Arnold Allen's at home. I don't know if Arnold Allen, I think we looked, and I don't think Arnold Allen has fought at home for a long time, as far as I remember. I don't really, you know, but I think it's a big deal for him to be fighting here. You see the travel, Matt, you know, 2 days of travel. I think Dan Hooker's been here a week or half a week already. I think he came over last week or something, I don't know. Climatise, it's just, it's not going to work. I just think, honestly, Dan Hooker's been fed to the wolves here. I don't know if it's disrespectful to Dan Hooker. He's obviously taking the fight. He knew the situation. He knew he was travelling. He knew he was dropping to 145. He knew who he was fighting. But there's a part of me that just feels like it's like, right, Dan, on you go, son. Go and get your head taken off.
there's a lot of debate. This fight is a 50-50 one for me. I really rate Dan Hooker. I think he's an absolute beast on his day. He can beat a lot of the division based on how his frame is. He's such a large individual for these divisions. I think he was a big lightweight. And to cut an additional 10 pounds, I think, is the absolute key in this. I really do. I think the travel, he's done it right. Come a week and a bit early. So that kind of, it's not really talked about now. But the beating he put on someone like Nasrat goes under the radar when Bobby Green smashes Nasrat. So you're like, okay, well, he beat him. And he's lost to Poirier, Chandler, you know, Barboza. Barboza put a beating on him. And that was a cardio issue. And I think whenever you see Hooker go the length of the fight, he slows down dramatically. And that's where Arnold Allen picks up. If you think about the Sadiq Yusuf fight, Arnold Allen came out the gates roaring, knocked him down, broke his hand immediately. And in that third round, he pushed the pace, grinded on him again, and really won a decisive victory. That's, to me, where all the chips lay in this fight. Is Allen has the cardio. He's never out of shape. I love the statement of, how do you get in the physical shape you do, Arnold? And he says, get your dad to take steroids and have a baby. And that's exactly how you look like Arnold Allen. He's just, if you look at his family, they're genetic freaks. Yeah. So you know that's not going to be an issue. He's physically, everyone I've asked who trains with him says, if he grabs you, you're done. It's like an English Khabib effect. He's so physically strong, it goes under the radar that he's on an 8-fight win streak, tied in the division, and what, fourth overall in the UFC for a bloody reason. He's so good. And I think this is the fight. This is the coming out party for him. But Hooker can definitely, if he can't get inside that reach of Hooker, it's going to be a problem, because it's a 5-inch advantage and Hooker can use it. And if it goes to the ground, Hooker's called the Hangman for a reason. He's got superb neck attacks. So there's a lot at stake for Arnold in this fight, because Hooker is a name that will destroy him if he doesn't mind his P's and Q's. But I think this is the coming out party, that he can push the pace. I wish it was 5 rounds, because then I think it would be decisively Arnold Allen. I don't think Dan Hooker would want to take a 5-round fight against Arnold Allen, because 3, 4, and 5, could you imagine his cardio at that pace? He had no body fat at lightweight. How's he going to fare at featherweight again? There's a reason he went up originally, 8 years ago, because he struggled at this weight. So I think it's a bit of a desperation move, and I wouldn't be surprised if you actually see him go back up to lightweight.
Yeah, I was going to just say your point there as well. Just nailed the points there, by the way, Lewis. But if it was 5 rounds, it'd be all day long, Alan. This one's only a coin flip, because I think Hooker can have a good first round, put it all out on him, and see what happens 2 and 3. But if it was 5 rounds, it's Alan all day long. Fantastically technical as well, standing up, which sort of goes under the radar. People don't say that. Completely outboxed Gilbert Melendez that time. But it's just the inconsistency. That's the only issue with him. He drops from people's radar purely because you see him once a year for the last 6 years. I think it is something genuinely like that. It's not often that he fights. So that's his big issue. I don't know if it's injuries or just people not wanting to fight him or whatever. But if he does get a win on Saturday, he needs to kick on. And he is right in the mix there as well, because featherweight, there's not many contenders, is there? It's devoid of them at the minute, because obviously you've got Holloway, he's meant to fight for the third time. Apart from that, who's knocking around? It's just anyone who's already lost.
Ortega, Zombie, Yair. Like, they're the scary ones for me, where I think Allen paired with Yair Rodriguez, I'm a little bit like, my bum's doing 50p, 20p.
But with a big win over Dan Hooker, you can almost bypass them, because everyone has seen them guys try to fight either Holloway or Volkanovski. You don't want to see him jump the queue, really. But do you know what I mean? Hooker's a big name, man. When you mentioned the Poirier fight there, arguably he could have won that pretty easily. A very, very close fight that was, and that's Poirier. So, but yeah, I'm very excited. I think this is coming out party. I agree. I do think he'll win. Think it'll be a lot closer, being three rounds, but I think he'll win a decision. It would be great for him to get a finish. He hasn't had one in God knows how long. He's got it in him, a last minute little neck crank. He's done it a couple of times when he needs to pull it out of the bag. He's done it in the UFC, done it in Cage Warriors. But and the finish would be lovely, but I can't see it. I think he'll win a decision.
I think front choke like Mads Burnell style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He needed that one.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I can't see past Arnold. I really can't. I love Dan Hooker. I really do. I just love the balls on the guy. Nothing seems to ever faze him. You know, he could offer any fight, probably any weight class, and he'd probably take it. You know, it's one of these guys that you feel like he has to be reined in by his coaches. I mean, I read something somewhere, I'm sure, about when he did that trial cut to 145. The reason he did it is because his coaches tell him, no, 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 you're not doing it. He went, well, I'll do it, and I'll fucking prove you. And he done it himself, and then went, look, I'm 145, and they went, fuck's sake, man. So I kind of get the impression that he'll do whatever he wants, and basically on Dan Hooker's terms, and even the balls on him to take this fight. You know, Arnold Allen at home, win streak, different weight class. Love it, man. Can't wait. Can't wait.
He's the Australasian cowboy, isn't he? So yeah. Like, he don't need to win. He's people love him already.
If you don't like Dan Hooker, you're watching the wrong sport. That way.
Yeah.
A bit like Cowboy. Everybody loves Cowboy. There's nobody who doesn't like Cowboy. So it's the same thing, mate. He's just one of these guys that's so likable because he's just heart of a lion. You know what I mean? But,
yeah, man.
Paddy the Baddy. Obviously making his second trip to the Octagon after, I suppose, a long wait, as you and I talked about last week. Lewis, we said, obviously, he'd try to get signed by UFC three times. He said no, waiting, doing his time. As I said to you last week, my favourite, well, honestly, I still think it's one of my all-time favourite submissions, except Paul Craig's against Nkalaev, because that was great. His jumping triangle against Alexis Savidis at Cage Warriors 90 is still one of the greatest things I've ever seen, ever.
Saw that live.
I'd have given anything, because it was just tremendous. It was the quickness of it. Like, yeah, literally, if you blinked, you'd have missed some jumping, and you'd have been like, what the fuck happened there, man? Honestly, it was so. But it's funny because I love watching him fight, but his style scares me because he's very, like, erratic, and I don't like the loud, noisy fighter. I've never been a McGregor fan. I'm not a fan of that, you know, loud, like Cejudo. I'm not a fan of that loud, arsehole-y type of attitude, and I think Paddy can be a bit like that. But saying that, I think he's going to smash Vargas, so it doesn't really matter what I think, to be honest.
Well, the fact you have an opinion, either loving him or hating him, he's done his job. You're not indifferent, and that's why he's on the main card in his second fight, isn't it? I'm not a massive fan myself either. I don't really get it. I get why he's sort of divisive and things like that, and he's got that engaging personality, and he's so different to anything else you'll see visually, and his personality and just the way he's in an exciting fight, isn't he? So, but I just can't get some of the performances in Cage Warriors out of my head. Was it Julian Arosa where he robbed a victory of him?
Yeah, man.
BT Towers. And there was, who was it? Nad Narimani as well. Obviously he's improved a hell of a lot since then. He seems to have put on a bit of size since then also. So, and he's still growing into himself. He's still a young lad, but I just can't seem to sort of lose those memories from my mind and thinking that he's going to actually make a splash at 155. It's one division where you can't do a Tom Aspinall win. You can't do that there. You're going to have to go down the O'Malley route, which I think they're going to do. I think they're going to feed him a few cans in inverted commas. Obviously not cans, but you know what I mean? Lesser opponents. And then that's why I agree with Scott. I think he's going to walk through him this weekend. Vargas, don't know a great deal about him, but I think they wouldn't set him up with someone that is going to create a major fall for a potential star in Paddy Pimblett. But yeah, we'll see. Definitely. Whether he can actually go the whole way here, though, I'm not sold just yet.
They wouldn't do that at home. They certainly wouldn't set him up for a fall at home.
Exactly.
No way. They want this to be big. They want this to be the Paddy show, basically. I know Tom's headlining, but Mark made a good point when we were talking about this the other day. He said Paddy should have opened the show
I think so. Yeah. Great point.
Like the main card. You imagine that fight, like that first fight on the main card being Paddy Pimblett would have been nuts, man. But yeah.
He may well do still. They sometimes change it around. I think you've got to start the show with a bang, haven't you? I don't know who's on the list to start the show.
Paul Craig.
Yeah. You don't need any more bigger bang than Big Paul, man.
Yes.
I think with Paddy is, if you don't know about Vargas, he's a guy with an overhand right. He's got decent boxing, but leaves his chin exposed, his hands down, and he has no grappling. Paddy's bread and butter is his grappling, and he's turned into a striker, which he is a very good boxer, Paddy, but he gets reckless because he's a scouser, he loves to scrap, and that is him. But the record he's got, he's only ever lost three times. He's a two-division world champion in Cage Warriors. He's lost to literally very high-level guys in like Soren Back, and he was nearly killed Soren Back in 3 minutes before he gassed. That's the level Paddy's at, and I think you brought up a very good point of he's filled out. He looks like a man now, whereas when he won the belt for the first time, he looked like a boy, and that's how skillful he was. He got a black belt like 21 years old, which is unheard of. It's unbelievable. The kid is just so good. I don't like all the brashness and how he talks and all that, but if you watch him live, you're going to be so damn impressed with him. And I can't see it getting out the first round. I was a bit more respectful on my video I made about Vargas because there's some fans of his, but I think Pimblett's going to take him out within minutes.
Yeah, it does worry me, his standing up though, like the way he got caught against Vendramini. It's probably the best mistake he's made in his life, because he might not ever do that again. But can you iron out those foibles at this late in, deep into his career? Do you know what I mean? These little...
That'll determine how good he actually is, if he can. Because, his chin was so hittable. He was so hittable against Vendramini. Like, so hittable.
For a long time as well.
Yeah. Had Vendramini been a better boxer, I'm not sure that would have went the way Paddy went. Now, obviously, you're saying he's Vargas, a decent boxer. He's got a big overhand right. That overhand right would scare me if I was Paddy's coaches or Paddy, because if that hits Paddy's chin, that could be, because Paddy's chin's always there to be hit, unless, of course, he's made the changes and adapted it. But as you say, Matt, that will determine how good he is. If he can notice that he fights like that and can, change and adapt and become better at more all-rounded. I mean, his grappling is insane. I see that flying armbar, triangle, choke, whatever you want to call it, man. It was like everything rolled into one. There was proof of that, and that was like 6 years ago, whatever, you know what I mean? So I don't see Vargas doing much, but I think it would have to, as we said at the start, he's basically getting fed to Paddy to fuel the Paddy fire at home. Place will go nuts. See if Paddy sparks him out in the first minute. The place will go absolutely fucking mental. Mental.
And Vargas has lost to a kickboxer by rear naked choke. So what do you think Paddy's going to do to him?
Yeah. Paddy's going to rip his head off, literally.
Well, anywhere he wants.
There's always that danger, though, with just complete disregard for your opponent. There's always that danger. He's a lot shorter than him.
He always fights like that, I think. That's the problem. Yeah, that's how he gets successful, isn't it? He ain't afraid.
do you think he can... how far do you think he can go, Lewis?
That's the thing. I think his style, he can go as far as he wants as long as he doesn't just stick with one camp. You can see it with Darren Till. Darren Till only got so far being one-dimensional, essentially. Paddy's not one-dimensional, but there's going to be an ego problem where next gen Liverpool's the best. We'll never move, all this sort of thing. I think you need to go to different places, and I think I don't see him getting to a title. I really don't, but I see him contending. I definitely see him as a ranked fighter. I see him getting a title shot eventually, but the dude's young, man. He was in mid-20s. He's
27.
Okay, he's older than I thought, actually.
Yeah.
But
that's literally what I was just thinking in my head.
But this is he's coming at the right time. The Vendramini, if he comes in here, doesn't get touched, pieces him up, rocks him, takes his neck and strangles him, you will forget Vendramini ever existed. You will forget he ever got... He only got touched pretty much once by Vendramini, let's be fair as well. Like, I gave him a heart. I got a reply from him on social media because I said he nearly got finished. And then I was like, did he nearly get finished? And then I was like, yeah, he nearly did, because he got taken down very easily. And he's never been taken down easy in his career afterwards by a boxer. Yeah. So, I think getting clipped once is kind of, that's the only negative thing you can kind of say on him, really, like his fighting style. He knows he's got to put his chin down. His boxing coaches, I'm sure, aren't telling him to leave that out there. So he puts that chin down and he sits on some of these strikes. He's got the pressure, the speed, the athleticism, the age, the charisma, everything to get into the head of the opponents. He's got that effect. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's headlining the next card, to be honest.
Yeah, I think if this is in Liverpool, he could headline Saturday.
Yeah,
so that's
easily. We're going to need Wembley. We're going to need Wembley next time.
Yeah.
He definitely has all the tools. I agree with you, Lucy. The tools are there. It's just whether, as you say, it's an ego thing for me. And I think that's like almost like a Liverpool thing as well, because Darren Till has it. And Molly has it to an extent as well. You know, even maybe Tom as well. There's an ego thing about being from Liverpool and having that kind of training. And I think you're right. I think if Paddy came across to the States, for example, and tried something different for a camp or for a few months out of camp and seen what it was like, it might change things. I think it determines how far you want to go. I'm not saying Next Gen's not a good gym. Look at how many good fighters have come out of there. You know, it's a brilliant gym. You know, but until you go somewhere else, you don't know what you're missing. I know they say the grass isn't always greener, but it might be. You just don't know. That's the thing. So you're in a position where you can go somewhere else, try it, and if it's, you know, shite, to maybe come back. And look at Corey McKenna, right? If there was any fighter in the UK that you'd said to me, who'd you think will go out to, you know, Team Alpha Male or Team Alpha out in Sacramento, Corey McKenna would not even be on the list. She would have been on the reserve list. But she did. She went out there. She's training with Faber. She's training with Barber. You know, it's just nuts. Like, as a young lassie who's decided to go and do that, I think it could be similar if Paddy decided that was something he wanted to do as well.
Look at Till as well. Till, number one dog, him and Aspinall at Calbon. I'm sure he's getting beaten up a little bit, but he's the head honcho. He goes over to All-Stars and he's the rat. He's the bottom of the litter and he's getting ragdolled and he's getting called fatty every day. And now he's suddenly a student again. He's getting humbled. And that's what these guys need. Especially if you lose a lot, but I don't see Paddy losing a lot.
Well, it depends. It's like lightweight is
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, but it's in a turnover at the minute of old dogs and the new breed. So there is an opportunity there. A lot. It's just, I said it before, it's full of people who are coming off losses in that top five, top six. It's full of just losers. So,
not bunch of losers, you know what I mean. Like,
literally coming off a loss. Yeah. But
you're literally a loser.
I wouldn't say it to any of them, but you know what I mean. They're all coming off. No one's smashing it. They're not 28, 29 year olds anymore. Ferguson, how old is he? Pushing 40. Gaethje's getting older. Poirier moving up probably. So there is an opportunity there for people like Paddy and some of the youngsters. We're seeing it already with like Fazeev jumping into the top 15. Yep. There are others. So yeah, I think there's a good opportunity there. It's just whether or not you can actually compete with those guys. I mean, like, talk about Fazeev there. Could you imagine if he had his striking like he was against Vendramini, against the Fazeev? I don't know if it'll end well. So he's definitely got to fix those sort of issues he's got. But I'm basing this off one fight, one crazy whirlwind of a fight where he's probably just wrapped up in emotion. There was packed for the Scousers, that little apex, wasn't it? So running off on fumes of adrenaline in that fight. So maybe we'll see a bit more of a measured approach from Paddy on Saturday or in the fights coming up in the future. But yeah, exciting times. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of it yet, but I'm buzzing to see him, to be honest. He's one of the whether you love him or hate him, it's like Conor McGregor. I'm not a big fan, but if you're in, you'd be gassed to see him, wouldn't you? So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, seeing what sort of reception he gets. Yes, you would, Scott.
Do you know, it's funny, yeah, I probably would. I think if McGregor was fighting on a card I was going to, I think there would be a partner who was like, yeah, I would like to see him. I think Paddy's the same. Not a massive fan, but I am actually really looking forward to this fight. Probably because Paddy will smash him inside the round, so I think that's always fun to see. But yeah. Either way, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to all of this, man. We're literally going to bed from like 4:30. It's ridiculous.
Doors open 4:30, though.
I think, I can't remember, something like that. It's Mark was looking at it. I think the first fight might be at 4:30. I think the doors are 4:00. And the doors are 4:00, so the first fight will be 4:30, which is just nuts. Because we bought tickets to go and see Leighton Orient.
Why?
We just like football, mate. We just like watching football. Last time we were down, we went to see Charlton before. We went to UFC. So we were at Charlton and then jumped across the O2. So Mark was like, there was only one game on in London that day, and it was Orient or Charlton, but we'd been to Charlton. I said, well, let's do Leighton Orient. But then you look at where Leighton Orient is in relation to Greenwich. It's fucking nowhere near it, man. So
might have to swerve that geezer.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Right, I think what we'll do, we'll skip the two non-UK based fights, right? And we'll, if we've got time, we'll come back to them, because also I want to talk about Paul Craig and Krylov. You and I did a video on it, Lewis. Probably the best prospect Scotland has at the moment. Okay, I know Casey's a bit of a badass. Still young, still raw. So I would say in terms of, you know, main event status, I think Paul Craig's the man. We did have Jo Wood, but she's obviously a couple of losses and things have got a bit difficult for her. But as you said last week, this is like a, it's almost like a stylistic perfect matchup for Paul Craig. If Krylov tries to take him down, or if Krylov comes in close, like, you know, because Paul Craig will be like, you want to take me down? Cool, man, no bother. You come down on top of me, not a problem, because I'll just submit him.
I don't know. I think this, I'm not sticking my neck out here, but I think it's either going to be, it's a stand-up war where Paul Craig's going to fall in love with his hands again and end up getting chinned. Or it could be a bit of a dull affair where bit grappling heavy and Krylov has got a bit of a knack for sort of grinding out fighters. I don't know about this one. I don't know, man. I'm a bit worried. I think it's because Paul Craig's probably one of my favourites on this card. I'm just a bit unsure if he's going to fall in love with his hands again and then get knocked out. But he's improved so much, actually, thinking about it on his feet. He's improved hell of a lot since the back in the days of Khalil, etc., and all those guys. Yeah. I don't know, it's just Krylov's got spoiler written all over him, if you ask me. He's only lost to Glover recently, and Kalayev.
Yan, I think.
Two champions and one future champion, all by decision, close fights. I think it's a difficult one for Paul Craig. I'm obviously pulling for him. I think if he does get it done, I think he might get a sub. But yeah, I've just got that 29-28 Krylov in my nut, which I think might happen there. And obviously he's Ukrainian, isn't he? So maybe he'll have a bit extra motivation behind him come Saturday. But yeah, tough one. Very, very tough one for Craig. But it does get him up into the top 10 if he does get a win. So what do you boys reckon?
Yeah, I think if Paul can't get him to the ground, it's over. Yeah, I don't think he can strike with Krylov. I know Paul's got heavy hands, but he's no kickboxer. As soon as he gets a little tired, his hands are by his waist, you will get chinned by Krylov. He is a finish machine. That is what he does. But if he gets sloppy, that is where you wrap an arm, like he did against Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill was like, you're pulling guard. Okay, I'll sit in guard and just rain heavy shots. You won't rain nothing against Paul Craig's guard. Paul Craig is the longest individual to sit in a guard of. If you've ever done jiu-jitsu and someone, the one thing you don't do is ever put your hand on the mat when you're on top. Jamal Hill immediately put his hand on the mat. Paul Craig's a black belt, snatched that up, got him. Krylov's smarter than Jamal Hill. Let's put that there. He's a very, very high-level guy. I do agree that it has kind of got spoiler written all over it. If it's ending by decision, Krylov will win this fight. There is no doubt in my mind Krylov will win this fight. But I do believe Paul Craig can snatch something. I don't think he's going to try and double leg him, single leg him, you know, do any kind of fancy trick. I think he's going to pull guard against Nikita Krylov. And I think he's going to try and drag him into deep waters very quickly, because otherwise he's going to get pieced up. Is in the short scheme of things, that's our entire conversation from last week compressed into a minute.
That's it, mate. Like, I think you're bang on. I think that's his way. They always say, oh, do you remember they used to do path to victory? Do you remember they used to do that on UFC? The commentators like, what's his three keys to victory? And that's exactly it. I think if it's kickboxing, Craig loses. If it's a decision, Craig probably loses. Because although Craig's a grappler, he's not a wrestler, so he's not going to wrestle fuck Krylov for three rounds. You know, he's not going to, you know, just lie there for three rounds and not do anything. Paul Craig wants to submit you. It scares me a wee bit, but I love, we talked about this last week, Lewis. I love Krylov. I've always been a massive Krylov fan. And I also love Paul Craig. So it's a difficult one for me. Obviously, I'd be disappointed if Craig lost, but at the same time, it'd be good for Krylov. So it's a difficult one. And it could literally go either way. You were saying that Arnold Dahl and Dan Hooker's a 50-50. This is a 50-50 for me. You could flip a coin. It just depends how the fight goes. You know, it's not as if both guys can win the same way. I don't think Krylov will submit Paul Craig. Paul Craig won't outpoint Krylov. So it's like almost as if they're total opposites here, or total opposite ways to win.
There is only one dilemma, which is when an individual has one specific skill set that is a danger to anybody in the division. Paul Craig's jiu-jitsu is a danger to every single person in the light heavyweight division. Look at Ankalaev, for example. He's 1 second away from being undefeated in his career. So that's how good Paul Craig's ground game is. If Nikita has that in his head, and if his coaches are posting negative vibes in him, like, going, watch out for the ground, you know, and they're training nothing but ground game defensive, all he's going to think of is stay away, stay away, stay away. And he's going to lose his hands. And that's when Paul's going to hit him. And that's the issue for me, is if you're focusing on one thing, when Islam's trying to take you down and you're just waiting for that takedown, no one fires anything at him, which is how he's been knocked out before. If you're just waiting for Paul Craig to grab you and pull guard and to defend, if you're waiting to defend something, I think that's an opening for Paul Craig. But it depends what Nikita's kind of like his headspace in. He's beatable. He's very beatable. But yeah, it's a very big uphill climb for Paul. But I'll back him. You got to back him. He beat Ankalaev, man. 1 second to go.
I was halfway up the stairs going to the toilet. I was raging. I was like, this is shit, man. He's been ragdolled.
Oh, you didn't leave early. You left early, you
mate,
criminal.
I did. Honestly, I'll put my hands up. Mark still absolutely ribs me for it to this day. I was halfway up the stairs and I heard the cheers and ran back down my seat when it happened. And Mark just went, you're a stupid bastard. I was like, oh, no. I still can't believe a guy tapped with a second to go. But hey, listen, that is what it is.
Yeah, there's something in the podcast water because it happened to Joe as well. So You weren't alone there, mate.
Good, mate. So I was going to think in there, maybe we should like not do the two, because if we don't do Nelson Sato and Abrahimov Pavlovich, we can talk about another couple of Brits, which is kind of the whole point of why we wanted to do this. Yeah, so give me a special mention. Give me somebody you want to highlight, and we'll talk about them.
You want to go, Matt?
Cheers. I want to know why Nathaniel Wood is the first fight on his card and he's the only Londoner. Seems insane to me.
I think it's more the layoff and the opponent is probably it.
Dana Nelson's been out for 3 years.
Yeah, but he's a name. that's the annoying thing. Nathaniel is so good.
So good.
He's very well known, you know, in Cage Warriors in London. He's fought at the O2 about 5 times. Won his championship there, defended it there, got his final win, you know, before he got signed to the UFC there. But tell me what you know about Vince Morales right now. It's going to be a sentence or two, right? Because it was for me and we're all diehards.
Yeah.
I suppose you could say that about when he was on the main card last time. The fella he fought, obviously he'd been on like Tough or Dana White or whatever, but he was, people there seen Nathaniel Wood, weren't they? That was the long and short of it. It doesn't matter who they're fighting. Same with Paddy. Like, no one really knows much about Vargas. I think he should be a little bit higher, unless they want people in their seats for the first fight, but I don't know.
What I think it is. That's what I think it is. It's so you don't miss any of the event. You want to see Nathaniel Wood, you want to see Great British Top Team, you want to see him get slapped by Brad Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
You get in there from 4:30 and you go watch it. And I think that is it. Because I think after that, they're rescheduling Jai's fight around. So it's not confirmed whether Jai will open it or Jai is going to be in the middle of the prelims, because he's now fighting with Ilya Topuria, isn't he? Who's an absolute savage.
Yeah. I cannot wait for Topuria. I hope Topuria is not first, because I think we said we might miss the first fight if we do go to Orient. Obviously, if we do go, we'll miss a bit. Cause we'll, you know, so I hope it's not Topuria, man. Cause
trust me, you do not want to watch Leighton Orient over.
No, I really don't. I really don't. To be fair, I don't really. But no, I agree with you a wee bit, Matt, here. I was a bit shocked with Nathaniel Wood being first on. But then I thought to myself, who would you have first on? Maybe somebody like Makhachev instead, because he's new.
Debut,
there's nobody really else there. I mean, you wouldn't have Shore, you wouldn't have Molly, you wouldn't have Grundy, you wouldn't maybe Corey McKenna.
I would argue Grundy, because yeah. Amir Carney's a vet in the sport now. He's and Grundy's a Team Cowboy guy, so you know a lot of Scousers are in the building, aren't they? So supporting the Wigan guy. So Grundy would make more sense than Nathaniel Wood anyway. Nathaniel Wood's got actual. He could make a run at this division, and he's so damn good, you know. I had an argument with someone in my comments section, which you should never do, where they said he's so chinny. Why are you talking, you know? Oh, the Brit picking the Brit in that fight, and I was like, have you seen Nathaniel Wood fight? The dude's amazing. He's absolutely clinical, and he's got incredible defensive wrestling, offensive wrestling. His submission skills are second to none, and he's a knock. You know, he's been tapping people in the UFC, but he's a knockout guy in Cage Warriors. So, you know, he's kind of doing the same way Paddy was. People just fall in love with their hands, and it just shows how good he is. When you've got Ashley Grimshaw in your corner as well, and Brad Pickett, and then you're training with Dominic Wooding, and the amount of people that are coming over to this new facility at Great British Top Team. Have you been down there yet, Max? I know you're saying you're...
No, there's an open day on the 26th, which I've got my eye on. So that's the Saturday after. But yeah, that team's just...
Monstrous, isn't it?
It is. You got Mark Jacasey. I think he's training a bit there. I think Paul Daly's been there to train with them. So it's very, very impressive the amount of people they can sort of invite to that complex, because it's so damn impressive. But with Nathaniel Wood, this is a massive fight. I think I agree completely. He's got all the tools, hasn't he? He's got the grappling, he's got the wrestling, his leg kicks are vicious. I do agree he can get hit. He's very, very hittable, which you're going to come a cropper if you actually continue like that. But he's going to rectify that. You know what I mean? He's growing. He's not even how old? 26? He's probably about the same age as Paddy, right?
Something like that.
But this is a massive fight for him. Long layoff, as you say. Hasn't fought for a long, long time. Got a much-needed win last time out. I think he's going to go through this fella. But I just hope I'm there to see it. That's the only thing.
It's quite scary. Vince Morales has been in the UFC since 2018, fought six times, and I honestly couldn't have told you anything about him. I told you how memorable Vince Morales is. So I agree with what you said earlier. Lewis, you know, I don't know anything about him, so...
He's also been fighting a lot of guys that have come up from flyweight. That's, you know, Vince Morales. Nathaniel Wood is an enormous bantamweight. You think of how... I know he got caught by Dodson. He was beating Dodson senseless the entire fight. His front kicks and his right hand is a piston. He uses his shoulders almost to get an extra couple inches in his reach. And he uses range better than most people in that division, to be honest. And he put up a damn good fight against Casey Kenney, who went very hard with Dominic Cruz.
He got robbed in that one.
There you go. So yeah. he beat the snot out of Castaneda, who people have been ranting on about, you know, when he won the Dana White Contender Series and put on a little fight his last time out. But no one's talking about Nate Wood, and it's annoying because he's such a nice guy as well. He's super humble. I think that might be it. He just doesn't talk. He's very quiet. He's like Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen does not talk shit. He just stays in his pod and just...
A lot of the Brit boys are like that. Jack's like that. You know, Tom's like that. Mike Grundy, I suppose, is a bit like that as well. These guys are all quiet guys. There isn't many Brits that are loud except, you know, Big Darren and, you know, Paddy's a bit loud and things like that. Bisping, obviously, back in the day. But these guys are quiet. It's maybe the more modern way, but, yeah.
Look where it gets you. Look where talking gets you. Till just to beat what, Vlogovic, I think his name was, something like that. Then fought Cowboy, who was a lightweight, struck, basically, until he was a middleweight, smacked him. Then he fought Thompson, got a controversial win, and then he fought Woodley. That was the biggest non-ranked to title shot three fights later. That was quicker than Dan Hardy's ascension in four fights. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was just completely rushed, but he all did it with mouth. Did it with his, because he can talk shit. Paddy will be the same. He'll either do the O'Malley route or he'll just be in the title shot by next year.
Yeah, exactly. What's your special mention, Lewis? Anything you want to pick up on the prelims?
Well, other than Jack Shaw, to be honest, because Shaw to me is also the future. He's just, I love Jack Shaw. When I watched him, the first time I saw him properly and paid attention was him versus Vaughn Lee at the O2. And Vaughn Lee was a, you know, old guy in the UFC, kind of like an Alex Caceres kind of record, but just a very good win to have on your record to show that you belong at, you know, at the top of the sport. You know, you're at the top of the championship. You're trying to break into the Prem, isn't it? That's essentially it. And he just ragdolled him when he had like 5 wins. He was a kid. He had a skinny body, no muscle, no definition, no abs, no nothing. Just looked like me with my top off now. And he just ragdolled this.
Keep that top on, son.
He just ragdolled the guy. And it was so impressive. He's got ridiculous wrestling. He almost uses a sambo style of jiu-jitsu, like that kind of offensive grappling instead of jiu-jitsu specifically. He reminds me of Islam, to be honest, and how when he does grapple, how dominant he is. But again, he hasn't needed to use it because his distance management and his striking has just been brilliant so far. But he's against Valiev, who is a Taekwondo magician, and he snatches souls with the leg kicks. And I'm a little worried for Jack if he can't keep the pressure off him, but I know Scott's fully convinced Shaw's going to run through him.
To be honest, I don't know what it is. Because I know Valley is dangerous. I know that. I'm not new to this. I understand. But for some reason, I don't know. It's just the overriding confidence in Jack Shaw. I just think Jack Shaw's so well rounded that no matter what Valley throws at him, I think Jack will be fine. I'm not saying he won't hurt him. I'm not saying it won't be difficult. I mean, it might go, you know, judges. It might be 29-28. But I reckon Jack will get this. I honestly don't see it. And then I don't see anything but a Jack Shaw win. How he gets there, I couldn't tell you because it's so varied. But I just think Jack's so good all over that I don't see anything really that would scare me from Valiev, to be honest. He is a scary fighter, and get the taekwondo down the leg kicks are horrendous. But I think Jack will just... It wouldn't surprise me if Jack like caught a leg kick almost. Like, it'd be that good, you know. He's that good at grappling. He would reach down and catch it and ragdoll the guy, you know. I think Jack James Irvin,
Anderson Silva style.
Aye, that just like woof, have you down, man, you know, and like that.
Throw back there.
Yeah, man. I gotta throw it back.
Yeah, I think it's good for him though. I think he needs to have a bit of a test. I think he's gone through in first gear pretty much in every fight in the UFC, it feels like. That's what he looks like anyway, which is testament to his ability, isn't it? But I think I'd like to see him not get beaten or anything, but like have at least lose a round, lose the first round, see how you're going to come back from that, and just to see him sort of how he reacts to these situations. It's only going to stand him in good stead when he actually fights the top 15, because I think he's that close. I've got to say, I think he's the Aspinall of bantamweight, isn't he?
Yeah.
But you can't rush at 135 because there's just about 30 geezers in front of you. So
I think killers as well.
Yeah, they're all killers. And I've said it hundreds of times. Nathaniel Wood, Jack Shaw, if they both get a win, that's the next fight you've got to make.
Oh, don't do that to me. No.
I've been trying to get this fight going pre-pandemic. That's how long I've wanted this fight. When he fought Vaughn Lee, first time you saw him. I think one of the first times I saw him against Mike Ekindayo at Cage Warriors 100, I thought Ekindayo, I knew he was just a mauling style, the backpack, they call him.
Yeah.
Fuck, it just walked through him, made it look so easy, and he looks so much bigger than him. And he's a legit bantamweight, Ekindayo, and a great fighter to boot. And he just made it look easy. Main event, and that was his ticket to the UFC. And he hasn't really looked back since. I expect him to have a little bit. Valiev's no mug at all, so I expect a little bit of adversity. But I think he'll win a decision here. I can't wait to see him. Another one who don't talk though.
Yeah.
But would you rather see him talk when it's not them and it's just as cringe as anything, and not legit, or them be themselves and them get to the top that way? It's a hard one.
I think 15-0 speaks louder than anything he could ever say in his mouth, coming out his mouth, mate. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know people will say the early days, you know, they'll say the same about Khabib. You know, Khabib was 29-0, but his first 13 were against nobody's. That's fine. But I think those numbers speak for themselves. At this point, maybe later on, if he gets a couple of losses and things maybe don't go his way, maybe then have a mouth. But I think 15-0 speaks, for me as a fan, I'm not one of these guys that loves the verbal sparring. I don't really can be arsed with it. I want to see two good fighters fighting, and that's it. So I think this will be. I think this could potentially be fight of the night. That one, by the way, that could be absolutely superb. What a way to finish the prelims, anyway. That's for sure. If that's how it's stacked up, because everywhere I look, it's different. So
yeah, man. And you think you fought a UFC veteran when he had 6 fights, and he tore him apart. you know, that he's always fought in Cage Warriors. I think he had one fight that wasn't. So he's been at the highest level. You know, Cage Warriors to me is the highest level. There's so many guys in Cage Warriors. When you look at, when you go on like early fight prelims, or you're just looking at the prelims and watching some of these guys fight in the UFC, and you then you go to the, you go to Cage Warriors events and you see like Scott Malone, someone like that. Scott Malone isn't quite good enough to get to the Cage Warriors belt at the moment. But if you shove Scott Malone on a 3-fight contract in the UFC, I guarantee you he wins 2 fights. Like, they're that damn good in Cage Warriors. You think Vucenic and the Hughes, that's happening on Friday, yeah, which I'm, I am going to, thank God. Vucenic, what, 7 fights on his record.
Yeah.
He's absolutely monstrous. And same as Paul Hughes. They just, they cruised past Sharia. And I know they're split decisions, but they weren't split decisions. There's someone that watched them live. They weren't split. Sharia got outclassed, and he's someone with 25 fights and 100,000 followers on, you know what I mean, and had a football stadium of French people in York Hall supporting him. So these guys are just on the next level. And Jack Shaw, I think, is the start of all those. Because since he was 5-0, he's fought nothing but essentially killers, and he's still cruising. I don't think he's lost a round, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even though Hunter Azura is a split decision, I don't know how. I don't know how he I won that easily.
Thinking that at the time.
One of those judging decisions that was staining his portfolio.
He got lucky against Scott Malone. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. Big shout out to Scott Malone.
Yeah, man.
Are there any Brits on this card you think are in a bit of trouble?
Yeah.
Herbert, without a doubt. Tapuria is going to kill Jai Herbert. Ilya Tapuria is, I think for me, like literally, like he could be like, you're talking about 155ers coming through there, Matt. You were talking about the new young generation. He is definitely one of them. I will happily eat my words if Jai Herbert sparks him, but I can't see it. I know Jai is very big.
It's going to be a 5-minute gunfight, mate, that one.
It's going to be absolutely... And if that is the first fight on the card, I'll pay somebody else to take my seat at Orient if I have to. I will not go. I'll make sure I'm in for that. I think he's the only one for me. I'm not... Maybe Molly, I don't know, but the rest of them I think are actually okay, to be honest.
It's the size, isn't it, Tapuria? That's the only question mark. I mean, Tapuri, I think he's one of the prospects, top 3 prospects in the UFC. He's jumping up, isn't it? Is it lightweight, right?
Yeah, it's at lightweight, but he's normally a feather, but he's fought it. I mean, he's very small compared to Jai Herbert, but he's just a different, I don't know, it's just a different class of fighter for me. If you think about it, to fight, okay, the weight class maybe does make things a little bit more different, but I just think Tapuri is the level above. Sometimes guys are just better, it's as simple as that, you know. There's no disrespect to Jai. I just think Tapuria is better, and I think Jai might have a problem. Sorry, yeah.
I think Grundy might be in trouble as well, just based on how he fights.
Yeah,
just a wrestling heavy. He's essentially a bad Chad Mendes to me, a very slow wrestler with an overhand right. And that's kind of how he's fought in the UFC so far. And Makwan is a neck attack specialist. And as much as I really dislike Makwan Amirkhani, I think he is dangerous. And, you know, but he has had bad results recently.
Yeah, I fancy Grundy, actually. I think he wasn't that bad. Like, the commentary was a little bit biased in the Venata fight. I thought they were creaming their pants over a couple of spinning kicks that were a bit of, more show than substance sort of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think he did too badly there. He obviously got the finish with Nad Narimani. So I think his hands are good. And obviously they're both grapplers, aren't they? So it's just who's got a better grappling and it's going to come down to the feet. So I think Fancy Grundy. I think Lerone Murphy might have taken Makwan's soul a little bit in that last fight. So it's happened a few times. So I don't know. I think we might see the decline of Makwan. He's not looked the same. He was a big prospect at one point, wasn't he? But that's going to be a good fight, I think. It's good to see Grundy back in there, actually.
He ran into Barboza, that's what killed that. Barboza just totally derailed that.
Took his soul, didn't he?
Yeah, Barboza nearly killed him and it was brilliant. Yeah. Nah, the rest of the card for me, I think the rest of the Brits are okay. I think we might have a good night. I'm hoping so. The more Brit wins, the better. Do you know what I mean? Everybody on the card. Because I'd imagine, although it's in England, obviously it's in Londonshire, I think everyone will be pretty well supported. Even Corey, Jack, you know, the Welsh, and then obviously Paul, you know, you're covering all the bases, so I think it'll be brilliant. Overall, I think it's going to be a brilliant night. I really can't wait.
Yeah, man, for sure. And Cage Warriors. Don't forget Cage
and
Warriors.
And Cage Warriors. Listen, mate, it just see, if I wasn't in London on a Friday, I wouldn't care. But see, the fact that I'm actually in London on the Friday and I'm not going, it kind of just annoys me a wee bit. But
I'm going to be lurking outside on the Saturday. Like, anyone got tickets? Like, Gargamel.
Listen, mate, it's just that. It's one of these things. It was a deal. Like, oh, we're not. It was like, oh, if you want to go to London, you need to take the wives. It's like, all right, cool. But then you see London and you realise that Cage Warriors the night before and you think, oh, we shouldn't have brought the wives. But hey, oh man, it's all good.
Sold out as well. Can't even get a ticket.
I know. I'll be sitting watching it on my phone at dinner, like that, watching it.
It's going to blow the roof off, mate. And then whoever wins that should be in the UFC. Hughes or Vucenic. I'm backing Vucenic, but...
All the way.
Well, I love the bloke and he talked to me, so... You know.
Yeah.
That's sealed the deal.
That's sealed the deal, isn't it? He's bringing 2,000 people from Corby with him.
You're going down there with a similar amount as well, aren't you? You said you're bringing around 300 people with you.
Yeah, something like that. I think I've got about 9 people that are meeting up there. So
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Darren Stewart is no longer on the card.
Really?
Yeah, his opponent got injured fight week. And Darren's gone, how the fuck are you getting injured? You should be cutting weight, not... training anymore. Like, how has that happened? So now he's going to probably be fighting on 135 or 136 in April in Manchester, but he still will be there in the audience.
That'll be good.
Not fighting, which is really shit.
That's annoying.
That is shit.
Yeah, because it looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
thank you to both of you for giving me your time. It was class. I always like to talk to other folk about it, you know. Only person that ever talk MMA is my Mark, and no offence to Mark, it gets a bit boring sometimes, a bit samey, so it's nice to talk to other folk, for sure.
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Alright, cheers guys. That's us for this show, guys, so listen, if you listen on Spotify, give us the ranking, the rating, we'd really appreciate it, and yeah, we'll catch you next time.